Romans chapter 15 this morning. Romans chapter 15, we're going to be in verses 8 through 13 for our reading, but then we'll focus mainly on verse number 13. But Romans chapter 15, and verses 8 through 13. So Romans chapter 15, starting verse number 8, the Bible says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do ask that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. Father, I ask that you'd have our full attention this morning, that all distractions would be rebuked out of our mind, that you would establish our thoughts, because we are committing this hour to you, Father, wanting to hear from heaven, wanting to be encouraged by your word, wanting you to guide us according to your will, wanting to walk away with something you've given us to meditate upon throughout today, to even guide us into this next week. Father, we ask that you would. We know that you can, and Lord, help us to believe that you will. And Lord, help us to have ears that will hear and hearts to receive exactly what you have for us. Father, as always, ask that you bless the children in junior church like you did in Sunday school, guiding their minds and their hearts, helping them to understand the Bible lesson as well. Father, we just ask that you would, as the sun is shining outside so brightly, that Father, that you would shine within each of our hearts your glory, helping us to have that special time with you among God's people. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be gathered together this morning. We do ask that you speak to us in a very special way. Help us not to miss one thing you have for us, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, hope is like sunshine breaking through the clouds on a stormy day. Hope is like the breath of fresh air after being overcome by smoke. Hope is like hearing good news after a bad day. And hope is something that we all need. Hope is a powerful thing. You know, as we talk about God's hope this morning, we are reminded of those truths that somebody wrote years ago that, you know what, when you're having a bad day and you hear some good news, it refreshes you. It just does something good. I can remember many times where I would come home from work and having a bad day working for not so pleasant bosses and stuff, and my wife having this little gift for me to open, and opening up this gift and seeing these little baby booties and a note saying, in some way, I'm expecting. Or, you know, I think she would even dress it father, I forget exactly what, but just, you know, having that, man, well, okay, well, that totally turned my day around. I wasn't, you know, upset about it. It's like, okay, everything that happened is totally doesn't matter, because I have something to look forward to. There's going to be a new life in our family. There's just things in life that really helps you to put things back into perspective, because life is temporal, but our relationship with the Lord is eternal. And this morning, talking about God's hope in accordance to verse number 13, as Paul writes to believers at Rome, he reminds them that they have a relationship with the Lord, as the Lord is not just the God of the Jews, but he is the God of the Gentiles. He has opened up the way of salvation. We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is not a respecter of persons, and he wants to fill each of us with his joy, as verse 13 says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants each of us to abound through the power of the Holy Ghost in his hope. Because his hope brings contentment. His hope brings peace. His hope brings assurance in our life. His hope helps us to get our eyes back on the author and finisher of our faith. And that's the first thing I want us to understand out of verse 13 is the author of our hope is not our family. It is not our job. It is not some type of recreation that we like. It's not anybody or anything in this world. The author of our hope is Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. The Bible says there in verse 13, now the God of hope. Because you know what? The hope that this world gives is not an everlasting hope. It's not a hope that can really change you from the inside out. It's not a hope that will always be steadfast, unmovable, unshakable. Because the things of this world, people, recreation, jobs, whatever it is that some people put their hope in, they're looking for hope. People are looking for hope. They're looking for something to satisfy them. They're looking for some type of peace. They're looking for something to help them to understand why they need to keep living. And they just can't find it in this world, but we find it in Jesus Christ, the God of hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, as Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his faith, he says this at the beginning of his letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. As Paul writes to Timothy, Paul's writing from a prison cell. Paul is soon going to be departing this world to go to the next. And he wants to encourage, as he always did, somebody in their faith. And Timothy was a son, a spiritual son of his, someone that he mentored, someone he wanted to encourage in the ministry as Timothy was going into the ministry as a young man. And he wanted Timothy to remember that Jesus Christ was his hope. Because he would even encourage him, don't be afraid of what people think of you or say of you, all right? Do what God's called you to do. And we always have to remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is our hope. Because if Jesus can endure this life for us, then we know he will help us to live the life that he's given us. Remember, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, because he knew where he would be seated after the crucifixion, back at the right hand of the Father, back in the glory of the Father. And you and I have something to look forward to, and that is heaven itself. But aren't you glad that you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have a life that's filled with hope, joy, and peace now? Because it's through Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what? Without adding or changing scripture and being disrespectful to the Lord and his word, you could say, neither is there hope in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we receive hope. Our hope is in the Lord. As God's people, our hope comes through Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing this morning to think to yourself that you are saved and on your way to heaven? If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what's the problem? Now, sometimes we do find ourselves walking around with our chin in the oatmeal, thinking life stinks, nothing's going right, and maybe nothing is going right in your life according to the world. But what about according to heaven? How are things going? Where is your name written down that it can never be blotted out? It never can be erased in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our marriages may not be perfect. Family members may not be the greatest. Our job may not be the ideal job. Whatever it is that we want to be changed, there's one thing that gives us hope, and that is Jesus Christ. And you know what? In your life that you have right now is the life that he can magnify himself and show himself great in. And you know what? There's probably a lot of us that need a lot of hope where we're at right now in our life. For whatever's going on in our life, whoever is in our life, whatever we may be facing, God, I need some hope in my life. And we've got to remind ourselves, we have to look unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord, because he is our hope. And if you can't think about anything else that brings you joy, think about the gift of salvation, the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Because that's the second thing I want you to think about. Jesus is our hope, and salvation through Christ gives us hope. Take your Bibles and look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Reminding us this morning about the God of our hope. And he is the God of hope because it says, now the God of hope. Now we know that God is love. And God cannot do anything that's against his character. He is love. We love him because he first loved us. And the only reason why we can even love anybody else is because of the love of God in us. Helping us to love. Helping us to forgive. Helping us to overlook people's faults because our faults have been overlooked by a saving, gracious Redeemer. But when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, you look at verses 12 and 13, the Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There was a time in your life, in my life, that we had no hope. But as God's people, as the children of God, we should not live as though there's no hope now. We have hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. We see that throughout the Gospels where many had no hope. You remember the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years? She spent all her life saving, going to every physician she could find, trying to be cured of the blood disease she had, yet she was made worse. The only hope she had left was Jesus Christ, because she heard about Christ, and she said within herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That was her hope. Her hope was in touching the hem of Jesus' garment. And guess what? She made her way to where Christ was. She came behind him, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately the blood issue she had was cleansed. In fact, Jesus even stopped and said, who touched me? Now, we would think, well, wouldn't Jesus know? Wouldn't he know who touched him? Absolutely. But he was giving her an opportunity to come forward and testify of the grace of God in her life. Because he said, I perceive virtue has gone out of me. Even his disciples didn't understand and said, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at the crowds. They're like pressing upon you. Anybody touched you. But he knew one, and the Bible says she came trembling before him and fell down and told him everything that had happened. How her life, the blood issue, everything, and how she just came and she believed that she could touch the hem of his garment, and he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Because do we have faith in our hope in the Lord? Because as the woman with the issue of blood distracted Jesus from where he was going to Jairus' house. Jesus had to stop. He was already on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. He had to stop to deal with this woman. And he's so gracious to always have time for every one of us. And though maybe in the mind of Jairus, the thoughts are, okay, come on, Lord. Okay, she's good. My daughter. Because that's just the way we are. When we have something that needs help in our life, sometimes we overlook the needs of others. But Jesus never does. And as Jairus is hoping that Jesus can come and heal his daughter, as Jesus is talking to the woman, men come from Jairus' house saying, trouble the master no more. Your daughter's dead. It's too late. Aren't you glad it's never too late with God? Sometimes God allows things to happen to test our faith, but also to show he's in charge. And as Jesus hears the men say, trouble the master no more, the Bible records Jesus turns to Jairus and says, only believe. So they continue on. Only believe, that sounds like just keep your hope in the one you came to. Jairus came to Jesus. His hope was he can help. But now the unthinkable has happened, what he was hoping wouldn't happen. Have you ever hoped something wouldn't happen and then it did? Well, Jairus is hoping his daughter wouldn't die before he got back with Jesus, but she did. But Jesus encouraged him, as the Holy Spirit often tries to encourage us, keep your hope in Christ. And as they get back to Jairus' house, Jesus goes in the room with Jairus, with the mother, with the three disciples, nobody else, and raises that girl from the dead. Because you know what? There's nothing God cannot do. If it's dead, he can raise it again. Whether it's a life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's our own faith, as the Father said, I believe, help mine unbelief. If there's nothing we can rejoice in today, we should be able to rejoice in our salvation through Jesus Christ. And at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Titus 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In Titus 3, 7, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. How many of you hope this morning you have eternal life through Jesus Christ? Now we know, but it's still, we're hoping. I'm hoping I get to see the Lord when he comes back. I'm hoping that I'm alive when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, and those which are alive and remain are caught up in the air. I kind of would like to see that. Now, either way, I'm not going to miss it, right? You're not going to miss it either if you know Christ is your Savior. But there's some things that we want to see. There's some things we want to just, you know, see with our own eyes. All right? And I just think it would be neat to be in church when the trumpet sounds and all of God's people just rise up together. Nothing holds us back. There's not going to be any holes in the ceiling because, in that instant, we have our glorified bodies and, whew, we just go through the ceiling up into the clouds and meet the Lord. I think it'd be awesome. Might be some that remain. Where'd everybody go? Make sure it's not you that remains. Make sure that you know you have the gift of salvation because it's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. But it's going to be a blessed day. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's a lot of things we hope in. But we only have one lively hope that we know it is for sure, and that is you're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. You're going to be with your Savior for eternity. The life that you have right now is not forever. But there is an eternal life that will never be taken away, that's filled with joy, peace. No more suffering, no more sorrow, no more having to deal with earthly things. It's going to be perfect. We're going to be in the glory of God for eternity as his glory shines. No need for the sun or the moon. But the fact is, the God of our hope. Listen, if we can't find hope in anything, we need to find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we can't find it in him, there's nothing. We're lost. There's no hope without Jesus Christ. Again, he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We know that Jesus Christ is the author of our hope, and he wants us to abound in his hope. Hope abounds in the person whose faith is in the Lord. Faith moves the hand of God. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that we are to come with God by faith, and that it is faith that God sees and God rewards. But I want you to just look at Romans chapter 15 and 13, just look at the words again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. To him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. As Paul writes this to the believers at Rome, he's encouraged, hey, he's saying, the God of hope, he's praying that they would be filled with the joy and peace in believing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. There's no other name among men whereby we must be saved, right? He is. But how often do we find ourselves looking in other places for hope? And I'm hoping this boss gives me a raise. I can't tell you how many times that where I thought I should have got a raise, never got a raise. And if I got a raise, 5 cents, 10 cents, what is that? 15-hour days, 6 days a week, and I get 10 cents. But see, my hope was in getting a bigger paycheck. Sometimes we put our hope in things that, you know what, may or may not work out. Do you know what will always work out? God. God never fails. God will always supply what we need. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Because you know what? We need joy and peace in the life that we live, in the world that we live in. Do we understand that we're living in the last days? You know how I know it's the last days? And the last days could last another 50 years. I hope not. Not the way things are going. You understand, as the Supreme Court could possibly overturn Roe versus Wade, that there are people that are not happy about that? Whether you like it or not, life is precious. God is the giver of life. And the devil, being the thief, cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Now I know there are those that regret ever having an abortion. And I'm glad that God is a God of forgiveness and grace. But not only is the unborn child's life lost, but even the lives of mothers are destroyed by that. And if the devil is all for it, that should be a red flag that that's probably not right. Because as the Supreme Court could possibly overturn it, and simply it's just them not making it illegal, but giving the authority back to the states to let them decide if it's legal or not. And every state, because every state's supposed to be sovereign in what they do. Yet the Satanic Temple recently came out with a legal suit. They're suing for the right to have a religious exemption that will allow them to continue abortions in their religious rituals. It's part of their rituals. Now, if they're trying to sue for religious exemption so they can continue doing that, well, that lets you know, who's behind abortion? The devil. Because it steals life. It destroys life. What am I saying? The God of hope wants to fill you with all joy and peace and believing. So many are lied to and thinking, well, if you get rid of that life, your life will be better. If you do this, if you do that, abortion, whatever. The devil is a liar and a thief and wants to destroy lives and does not even want God's people to have hope and peace. But the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do we believe this morning that God still sits on the rightful throne, is still sovereign, is still in control, and the judge of all the earth shall do right? Not only judgment against this world, but even doing right in our own life. Again, we all have made decisions in our life that we regret. But I'm glad that we serve a God who is a forgiving God, a gracious God, a God who will fill us with the joy and peace in believing I've been forgiven. I've been forgiven. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, even though the accuser of the brethren, the devil, always wants to remind us of our past life, decisions we lived, the lifestyle we lived, yet God remembers it no more. It's covered under the blood of Christ. He remembers our iniquity no more as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad that God does not hold things over our heads. He doesn't hold us under his thumb. He fills us with his joy and his peace, but he wants us to abound in hope. He wants us to abound in hope. In Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God, that God will always do what's right. Have you lost hope this morning in some area of your life or in some situation? Have you lost hope? In the life of Paul, when he was taken as a political prisoner and they're sailing on the Mediterranean Sea, he tried to warn the centurion who was in charge, as well as the shipmaster, that, you know what, I perceive this voyage is going to be with hurt. Because it was a time of the storms. It was a time of storms upon the sea, and they wouldn't believe Paul, and yet they sailed off anyway. And the Bible says not soon after they sailed, a huge storm overtook them. And for 14 days, at one point, for 14 days, the sun did not shine. And the Bible says that everybody on board, they all lost hope. They all just assumed they're going to die. You know, it's just a matter of time. And they stopped eating and all of this. But the Bible says Paul was down under. He was down under in one of the cabins spending time with God. And he comes back up where everyone else is and encourages them and says, an angel of the Lord, whose I am, spoke to me tonight and said, not one person's going to lose their life. The only thing that's going to be lost is the ship. And the Bible says that Paul was able to encourage over 200 men to eat, to have strength, because he told them, the ship's going to be lost, but we're going to have to swim to shore. And he was able to encourage and give those men hope. Now, even after he said that, there were some sailors that wanted to escape, and they were going to escape in the lifeboats, and Paul had to tell the centurion, if they escape, we're all lost. What I'm saying is that Paul, because of his walk with God, was able to give hope to over 200 men. Hope that they had lost. They had lost hope. Because it is the word of God that gives us hope. Because God's promises, as we sang the song, standing on the promises of God, God's promises never change. They don't change with time. They don't change with the culture or society. God's promises stand upon who God is, and God is true. And God is right, and God is holy. So God wants us to abound in the hope that comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. He says in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. If we cannot trust God, we will not have hope. Because our hope is in the one who never changes. Our hope is in the one who knows our name. The one who's given us of his Holy Spirit to comfort us from the inside out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 reminds us, when our loved ones die in the Lord, we have sorrow, but not like the world who have no hope. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because we are not to sorrow as the world who has no hope. And as Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, he's speaking about a funeral. He's speaking about a funeral. If we have a loved one that dies, and we know they're with the Lord, then we don't need to sorrow as those that have no hope. I have numerous loved ones that I know I will see again one day. There's one I haven't seen since the week of my wedding. He wasn't able to be there for my wedding. He passed on before my wedding. But I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm looking forward to seeing some children. Lord never said life would be without pain. But he did promise to walk with us. It's in the valley that we experience the love of God and the grace of God. If it wasn't for the hope of God, I would not be able to keep living this life. The life of disappointment, the life of things not going right, the life of bad things happening to good people. Because what helps me and my wife to continue on in the life that God's given us is we know our hope is in the Lord. And we know that God does everything right, even when he allows certain things we'd rather not face in our life. What is it in your life right now you'd rather not be a part of? Look past that and look to the God of hope. Look to the God of hope. Look to the one who knows you by name, who holds you up in the palm of his hand, who guides your steps, who watches over you, protects you, provides for you, and keep your hope in the Lord, and even ask him, Lord, fill my heart with the joy and peace that I long for. When you look at 1 Thessalonians, you know what? Skip that. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 15, if you're not there. Romans chapter 15. And we're just going to close with this. I just want you to think about verse 13. Word for word, what is said in God's word. Now the God of hope. He never said life would not have difficulties or emotions you'd rather not feel. But he did say we could have hope. Hope that helps us to abound. Hope that helps us to go through storms of life. Hope that helps us to have our focus on the Lord who has bought us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. And the Lord showed himself. The Lord was not afraid to show Thomas himself, because Thomas wasn't at the first meeting when Jesus rose from the grave and appeared in the upper room with his disciples. He didn't want Thomas, who was a part of his group, a part of those men that he ministered to and loved and allowed them to be a part of the ministry. He didn't want Thomas to lose sight of what was true. And what was true was Thomas had a risen Savior who knew him by name, who cared about him, and was willing to come to help him to get over the doubt in his heart. We don't know all the emotions Thomas was feeling, other than when the disciples told him, Jesus is risen. He said, I'm not going to believe, not unless I see him. And the Lord was willing to show himself, Thomas, my hands, my feet, Thomas, look at my side. Because remember, Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see, and not only see, but unless I touch and put my fist in that side. And he wouldn't even do it. He said, my God, my master. But the Lord told Thomas, you believe because you see. Blessed are those who have not seen and believe. Now we know salvation, it takes faith. Faith in believing that Jesus did something for us without us even asking for it, but because we needed it. Again, as the Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You cannot have hope without believing. You can't have it. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the answer. And you have to believe that Jesus Christ will help you, even if he doesn't change the circumstance. Even if he doesn't change it. Because Paul said, I'd rather have the power of Christ upon my life. And Paul, he prayed three times and asked for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. There are things in our life we pray and we ask God to change and change and change. And our enemy's right there saying, see, he's not changing it. He's not taking it away. See, he can't answer prayer. No, he can. We just have to be listening. Maybe he doesn't want to change what's in our life. And you know what? Sometimes we can't understand that. Why wouldn't God want to change this? Because it's through that maybe we will see his glory brighter. We will rely upon him more. It doesn't make sense to the human mind. Don't think with your brain. If I thought with my brain, there's a lot of times I would not follow the Lord because it doesn't make sense. But as the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I'm a child of the King, the Holy Spirit reminds me you can trust him. You can trust him. Don't let your feelings dictate what you do. Let your hope in God direct you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have the power to overcome anything this world throws at you, because we have victory through our faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ.